Hi. Welcome to another episode of Paulton Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Aditya Sharma. He's the chief engineer at Hevo Power, and Greg Stahl, he's their CMO, and we're going to talk about electric vehicles and vehicle infrastructures and their adoption in the marketplace. Isn't that right, gentlemen? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alex. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Well,
thank you, Alex.
The pleasure's ours. The pleasure is ours, Aditya and Greg. Now, why don't you tell me a little bit about the way you see the electric vehicle marketplace shaping up, and especially where it comes to the infrastructure? I gather that's where you're specifically focusing on.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. So I think that the way that Hevo looks at this market is sort of twofold. You have this passenger market, which is, you know, everything that you read about in the news, the Volts, the Leafs, the price reductions, the infrastructure challenges, the range anxiety, Tesla building this supercharge network. And then there's this other side of the market, the commercial vehicle market, and this is squarely where Hevo is focused. So in this market, you know, we've been out there, we've talked to these commercial fleet owners, and they're facing a lot of the same range challenges that that the passenger market is facing, but we see these challenges as immediate because the owners of these commercial fleets are really looking to switch over to EVs, and so we're excited to bring them a solution that works for them, that allows them to optimize their fleets, and that ultimately just allows them to go about business as usual and save some money while being green at the same time.
Obviously there's not only just pushback from just change is hard, but the infrastructures involved are quite intensive. I mean, you've got to build either charging stations into the ground or into containers or into facilities. What kind of challenges are you seeing on that adoption side?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look, we haven't even begun to crack the nut of trying to implement some sort of public infrastructure that these commercial providers could use, when they're making deliveries. We've obviously talked to municipalities, and they seem to be supportive of developing something like this from a wireless perspective. And right now, you know, our focus is getting these units into their loading yards, and we're focused on the urban market. So if you think about the Dwayne Reeds of the world, right, they have these urban locations where they could, you know, they could charge there, they could go back to the loading yard, they could charge, they could get much more range out of their current vehicles just by having this solution, at both their retail locations and at their loading yards. So this is the first step in the right direction towards making this a viable solution for our commercial partners.
Right. And then, of course, obviously, the more that the infrastructure is spread through the municipality, it then provides an infrastructure for not just commercial vehicles, but also civilian vehicles.
I think that's exactly right. And our mission is to create the global standard for wireless charging. And what we'd love to do is not only, of course, you know, create an infrastructure, but we'd like to accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles. And, you know, it's sort of a chicken and egg problem, right? If there's no charging infrastructure, people are going to be reluctant to buy. But you want to see vehicles on the road to develop that infrastructure. So we are excited to take that step. And to boost this market.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've got a question for Aditya. I just had Arnold Alderman on a couple of weeks back, and he ranted about wireless charging as a he realizes that it's important, and not just him. He represents a school of thought within the industry that the wireless charging, yes, it's convenient, but the inefficiencies are so high that it's not cost effective. What do you say to that?
In terms of what you are saying is it can be right if I was in the past, but nowadays we are doing some intense research and we have found some fantastic improvement in the charging in terms of magnetic resonance. So basically, our technology is magnetic resonance based, not the inductive. Like in past days, the companies, our competitors, they were making technologies on inductive charging, and it was not efficient for higher distances and not efficient at all. But our technology is based on magnetic resonance, and it's really efficient, and it can transfer the energy up to high distances.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the drastic improvement these days, yeah.
What kind of an air gap are we talking about for what? I mean, you don't have to be exact, because I recognize that there's some wiggle room in there, but like at, say, a 6-inch air gap, what kind of efficiencies are we looking at?
If 6-inch, I will say we have achieved almost 95% efficiency.
Really? How about at a foot?
Yeah. A foot, I guess, like 90% efficiency.
That's quite impressive. That's, I mean, how, and now I know a bit about magnetic resonance. How accurate, I mean, obviously, if it's not a very accurate match, it's, you've got a lot of inefficiencies there. So that means that it would have to be pretty, how stringent do the standards have to be? How tight do the tolerances have to be? How closely do the manufacturers have to follow the spec to keep your percentages, your efficiencies high?
I mean, in terms of like a basic definition, if you see, magnetic resonance uses the magnetic coupling of two objects exchanging energy through their varying or oscillating magnetic fields. But resonance coupling, when the natural frequency of two objects are approximately the same. So if they are in a range and producing like a natural frequency, they can be able to charge, like transfer the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So like about the proximity.
And Alex, I would add to that as well. And, you know, since we are developing a wireless unit, we realize that, you know, it behooves the driver to park as squarely as they possibly can over this power station. So, you know, our mobile telemetrics platform is equally as important as the hardware that we're developing. So on this platform, you'll actually have a directional guide to put you right over the exact spot that you need to be in your vehicle to achieve maximum efficiency.
Got you. Because that was going to be my second question, is operator headspace issues.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm.
that's obviously the most big variable in any system.
Yeah, and you know, in our conversations that we've had, one thing that we found incredibly interesting is that one of the biggest losses that some of our commercial fleets are finding is that the operators are just forgetting to plug in. And with HEVO, you know, essentially all you need to do is just park and power up. So once that car comes over that power station, you're good to go. And the forgetfulness will hopefully in the future be completely eradicated.
Got you. Well, because going forward, you would even have it to the point where since it's a ground-level technology, you could literally build, you know, metered parking spots on the sidewalk. That would allow, you know.
Yes, you are playing to our vision. You keep playing to our vision here. Jeremy McCool, he's our founder and CEO. He actually conceived of this idea as he was walking down the street and looking at all of the parking meters that were not in use or decrepit and wondering, you know, what if that was a wireless charging station for an electric vehicle? How would that change the world? And so, yes, absolutely. We have thought of that.
Excellent. So now, beyond that then, how can our audience get involved with what you're doing?
Well, I think, you know, so we're looking for a full rollout in summer of 2014. So right now, we are piloting. We're about to begin pilots with some of our close partners. These are vehicle OEMs. These are schools, universities, people that we've had constant contact with about our products. So we'll go through the pilot phase here over the next 9 months or so, just to make sure that our technology is working, you know, perfectly and it's up to snuff. And then from there, we'll begin a full rollout to the commercial market. So I would say to get involved, you know, obviously keep checking back for updates. We're very active on social media and on our website. So that's where you'll find the most information that you can. And you know, in this space, since we're a startup, we're based in New York City. You know, we're looking for all of the support that people can throw behind us because we're incredibly passionate about this.
There you go. And New York City is actually a great place as a test bed because it's a dense enough municipality to make it worthwhile. I mean, look at the bicycles. Everybody was predicting that the bicycles would bomb and it wouldn't work out, and now they turn up and they don't have enough. You know, if you give people,
yep.
Go ahead.
No, I find that I you know, on Citibike, I was using it this weekend, and it's hard to find a dock to park my bike in. Either it's full because everyone has used them, or they're empty because people are taking them, and I can't believe it's taken off so much.
Well, and I can easily see that go to a small, like a smart car sized electric vehicle, because you could, the other side of that, because there's one more aspect, don't forget, is all of those vehicles can contribute towards grid stiffening in the municipality.
Yep.
You know,
that's
every
right.
single...
Do you have any comment on that?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You can elaborate a little bit. You know, what do you think about that as far as all of the vehicles and how the system can be used for grid stability?
I will say, like, it really will be, like, so efficient for electric vehicles that if they get an opportunity to park and charge their car at the same time in New York City, it will give them a huge boost to buy the electric vehicles on the sideways.
Well, this is also true because,
yeah.
And frankly, if I were a facility, I would look towards making my fleet vehicles definitely part of the microgrid in my facility.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. So are there any final thoughts, gentlemen, that you want to leave with us? We've got this brave new electric vehicle future if we can create it. Do you have any thoughts on anything for our audience? And make sure one of them is your URL so our audience can find you.
Yeah, well, we'll get that one over with first. It's www.hevopower.com.
And that's H-E-V-O, right?
Excuse me?
H-E-V-O, right?
Sorry, H-E-V-O, yes.
Yeah.
Hybrid and electric vehicle optimization.
Ah, okay, because some people might think HEAV as in H-E-A-V or something, and then you can't get anybody at your site, so I wanted to clarify that.
No, H-E-V-O, correct.
Excellent. So, and yes.
A closing thought, I mean, look, we've talked to a lot of fleet managers, we've done a lot of research, we've received a lot of research, and we think that, you know, wireless charging is absolutely going to be the standard in this space. You know, our mindset is that the commercial market is absolutely demanding this at this point, you know, based on the conversations that we've had. And so that's what we're going to tackle. But, you know, we are excited about all the developments, you know, we read about and the developments we're making in our laboratory. So we see a really bright future here, and we're just really excited to be a part of it.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah,
well, hey.
Basically, yeah. From my side, I would say, like, our challenge is the high cost of diesel fuel and the gasoline should be just removed, and there should be an adoption of electric vehicles so that we can save a lot of money and we can do something better for our green environment.
I agree as well.
Energy, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a very, very loud and open advocate for next-generation vehicles, so you're preaching to the choir here.
Nice, Alex. Well, we like to hear that.
So, gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. We really appreciated you having the time to talk about this incredibly important and developing space.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, the pleasure's ours. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us, because we wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.